Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Vahab Farzan, a research scientist and adjunct professor in the Department of Population Medicine and the Department of Pathobiology at the Ontario Veterinary College at the University of Guelph. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Farzan.
Thank you for having me, Bruce.
A webinar scheduled for June 17th, hosted by Swine Innovation Pork, we'll look at disease risk and antimicrobial use in swine, from post-weaning diarrhea to system-level prevention. First of all, what prompted this webinar and what are its objectives?
Yeah, that's a very good question, Bruce. I think the researchers, at the end of the day, they want to disseminate the result of the fundings to everyone is involved in the industry, including producer and swine veterinarian and other researchers. So I think that's the initiative by Swine Innovation Pork. They started scheduling the webinars to spread the result of the research. And that's, I think that's now it's our turn to talk about one of the projects that we mainly started and it still is an ongoing project with the support of Swine Innovation Pork. So that's the webinar is all about that.
Who actually is expected to participate in the webinar and what is expected to be covered?
My expectation is the different people from the industry, they perhaps will attend the seminar, this webinar, sorry. And I guess the webinar will be posted, I think, in YouTube and is available. So I think by the time people that they are interested, like I said, working in swine industry, various audiences, they perhaps will be interested either by attending a live webinar or watching the webinar later on, which is, as I said, will be posted, will be available, I guess, on the Swine Innovation Pork website. So, yeah, this is the Pan-Canadian research project that we started about 2 years ago, looking at the post-weaning diarrhea on Canadian farms and looking at different aspects of the disease, including, you know, the factors related to bacteria, the factors related to the pigs, and the factors related to environment. So we are trying to address some question and to understand about the picture of this multifactorial disease on swine farms in Canada.
Why has antimicrobial use become a top of mind issue?
Well, there are several reasons for that, but I think two main reasons is antimicrobial resistance, adverse effect of it. I mean, firstly, is a result of the treatment failure. I mean, pigs become sick because of different pathogen and microbial agent, and specifically a bacterial agent. So, if antimicrobial resistance, which mostly the gene that are responsible for antimicrobial resistance, they can move from one bacteria to other bacteria. So if there are antimicrobial resistant genes populated in pigs, so if a pig becomes sick for any other bacteria, so the treatment perhaps will not actually be successful. So there will be more mortality, more production losses, and finally is resulting in, you know, significant economic burden for the swine producer. But the second, which is important, is a public health issue. So The pork will end up to kitchen people on the table. So any gene that is responsible for antimicrobial resistance can actually, like I said, transfer to human, and then from one bacteria to other bacteria. So it causes a sort of public health concern, which is now is a global concern, the increase of antimicrobial resistance. So I guess that's also it's the trust of the consumer to a product. With the global competition and all of the trade marketing at the global level is happening, it's important for swine or Canadian pork product actually can be claimed as a safe and which they are. So that's I think the reason I think that the public is concerned about the antimicrobial resistance. And like I said, it also is important for the swine producer and veterinarian, swine veterinarian, that they usually have challenge to treat a disease on a farm. So it's important to have more option, more choice of the antibiotic to treat a disease. But if they end up with a resistant to most of the antimicrobials, they have to go further to some antimicrobial that they are mostly using human, and then that is become actually the situation even more complicated, and it's going to be more concern in terms of the public health.
How dependent has the livestock sector been on the use of antibiotics? At what age ranges or stages of growth does antibiotic use tend to be the highest, and why?
Yeah, specifically in swine, I think, like I said, mostly there are two reasons for antimicrobial usage. One reason is for the treatment, which is meaningful and is necessary in many cases. So the other reason is just for the preventive purposes. And also using antimicrobial to promote the growth performance. So some of it's important because if the treatment by the selective antimicrobials that is used in humans, so it can be concerned. And also, like I said, the gene that they are responsible for antimicrobial resistance can move from one bacteria to other bacteria, and so that's important. And specifically in swine, the very susceptible period or sensitive period, I would say, is when after weaning, when the pigs actually weaned, and there are so many parameters that compromise a response of the pigs to pathogens. Number one is they will actually leave a 5-star hotel with their mom in the farrowing room, and then they mix with other pigs from different sows, and then they will not have access to milk anymore. They have to start eating the solid diet. So there is a period, very very critical period for the pigs, that is basically the post-weaning period, and until sort of for several weeks that they get to the stage that finishing the nursery period and then going to grower finisher. So that 5-6 weeks post-weaning is very critical, and most of the producer they use the antimicrobials in the feed during that period to either prevent the disease and also maybe promote the growth performance in the pig. So one of the antimicrobials that is a zinc oxide, and it in a low level, for example, in low concentration, less than 250 or 500 ppm is okay, but Many producers, they use it at a high level, is more than 2500 ppm, which is it will have residual in the environment and in the tissue, so it is a concern for environmental health. So it's realized, answering your question, the industry, the swine industry, is relies on antimicrobial usage, specifically during that period that I mentioned, which is very critical for the as in terms of the production stage. I think that's perhaps the period that so many researchers and they focus to find other way to deal with that critical period, and use the method that doesn't rely on antimicrobial.
What options or technologies or strategies seem to offer potential for antibiotic use reduction?
Yeah, that's what I was going to continue answering your previous question, and that's a great question. There are, I mean, traditionally, vaccination so far is the best approach to vaccinate either sows or piglets to make sure they have the mount immune response against different pathogens. So that's and it is a almost a sort of a standard procedure, I mean, on any farm. So the vaccination against disease is important. And then there are other novel methods of prevention that one of them is the probiotic, which is they are the live bacteria, and they can actually modify the bacterial population in the gut, or also maybe in other part of the body, respiratory tract, for example. But mostly they're using in order to sort of, you know, target the gut bacterial population. They call it microbiome, and in a way that more beneficial bacteria. There are a bunch of good bacteria in the gut, right? So the aim is to just promote their growth. So the pig will have higher number of good bacteria, beneficial bacteria in the gut. So we call it the healthy gut, in terms of the not only in terms of the good bacterial species, but also a very balanced and reasonable diversity in the bacterial population in the gut. So that's one of them, the probiotic. Also postbiotic, which is the product of the bacteria, they use it. Also there are some research happening around the bacteriophages, that the phages that they are actually, they can kill bacteria, and they can live with bacteria, but they can kill them as well. So there are some research happening around that bacteriophages. Well, there are other, I mean, managerial things that, you know, and producers, swine producers, they do on many farms, which is basically biosecurity, and also, you know, washing the room, pans, and disinfection, and shower in, shower out, all of the biosecurity. We put it under biosecurity umbrella. That's important as well. So I think these are all, I mean, but one of other thing which is important is the genetics. Genetics is important too. So some pathogens, some diseases, pigs, they have genetic background, some of them, that they could resist against the disease. One of them is the E. coli, that some of pigs actually, they are resistant genetically. So I think the breeding companies, I think that's something that they've been working to breed the animals that they are resistant to the disease. So all of this is sort of, you know, Don't rely on antimicrobial usage. And I think most of them are not, they are very promising, I think. And some of them, like I said, vaccination is already in place traditionally. And then, I mean, in the world of the vaccine, there are the tremendous research just, developing better vaccine, more efficient vaccine, to be able to prevent the disease, not only to prevent the disease, but also it will be economically actually acceptable. Let's say, for example, if you can vaccinate a sow against a disease, so the aim is just to make sure that the piglets from that sow, 10 to 15 piglets, they actually will inherit it. That immunity to a disease. But if you don't vaccinate the sows, then you have to go vaccinate 15 piglets. So just an example. So I think one of the research in the area of the vaccination, but there are so many other things happening in all of these vaccine, probiotic, postbiotics, phage and genetic and in the breeding program that hopefully they can actually minimize the method that relies on an antimicrobial usage in swine.
How much progress is being made in reducing dependence on antibiotics, and what are the factors there?
Still, I think if we compare with, over last two decades, I would say, I mean, there have been a tremendous research on all of those non-antimicrobial preventive measure around the world. And I think in terms of the research, one of them, which is the vaccination, been very successful and already used against the majority of diseases in swine. The probiotic and postbiotic and phages, not very much established on farm, and its application is still a sort of ongoing research. The genetic breeding, like I said, I think the breeding company, they have done a very good job on a specific disease. I would say, for example, E. coli, one type of E. coli, which is, we call it the F4. Many pigs now they are resistant to the disease. PRRS, for example, it's pigs that they are genetically resistant. So it's ongoing research, but it's still it's a long way to get there. Overall, I think there have been a significant amount of the research happening and investment in this area, because in many countries in Europe, in the state, I mean, there are some limitation for antimicrobial usage is coming after year after year, also in North America, I mean, in the state and in Canada. So it's very important to find a solution to control the disease. And minimize at the same time antimicrobial usage.
What's at stake for consumers and for pork producers?
Yeah, like I said, I think it's for consumer, it's important because you want to have a safe pork in your plate, that you have it with your family and eat it, so that you don't want to get the genes that they are responsible for antimicrobial resistance with the food in your body. I mean, that's important. The overall the pork, the Canadian pork is very very safe. I mean, been working for I mean in the foodborne pathogen swine for many years, and they are relatively in a very good actually shape in that aspect. But I mean, globally, it's important that we have to be able to label our pork product as a safe product. I mean, having safe product comparing to having a document that your pork is safe is important. So I think that's very important that the consumer, I think, they can trust and they say, okay, if I eat this pork, is not coming from a farms that it has a huge antimicrobial usage, right? So because they on the public understand that the danger of the antimicrobial usage is animal is transfer of it to human. So I think that's important for the public health concern. It's in terms of the welfare is important too, right? I mean, using like I said, the treatment failure, right? So and then increase the mortality. If we can find a way to deal with the mortality in young piglets and they are suffering and then the treatment failure and so that would be very encouraging for public health in aspect of the welfare, animal welfare. So I think that's it has a significant, I think, public interest going to this direction. People may not actually think, oh, I don't, they cannot afford to buy organic product or antimicrobial free product, but at least the product coming from the traditional commercial farms, then we it is possible. I mean, we can minimize the antimicrobial usage. So it's the risk of the transfer is much less because it's still is a traditional conventional commercial farm is not organic, is not antimicrobial free farms, so you don't need to pay more. It's the same product, but at least the consumer know that it's coming from the farms that on average they don't use very much antimicrobial in their pigs.
How can anyone interested get more information or register for the June 17th webinar?
Yeah, I think the link is available for registration on Swine Innovation Pork. So the people who are interested in attending the webinar, they can go to the website, SIP website, and then click on the registration, register for the webinar. And like I said, as far as I know, the webinar, the SIP webinars will be posted on their website as well, and I think eventually in the YouTube channel. So even for those people that perhaps they cannot at that time to attend the webinar, they can actually watch the webinar later. But being in the webinar is good because they can ask questions and then participate in the discussion.
And is there anything you would like to add?
I think I yeah, so I think I'm looking forward to see more people attending the webinar, and hopefully we can actually do something by disseminated the research that the result of the research we've been doing for many years in that topic. And also I would like to thank you for organizing this interview to spread the word about this webinar, and hopefully more people they will know about it and they can then attend the webinar.
And thank you very much.
Thank you, Bruce.
Our guest has been Dr. Vahab Farzan, a research scientist and adjunct professor in the Department of Population Medicine and the Department of Pathobiology at the Ontario Veterinary College at the University of Guelph. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochrane.